Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
For an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, Rich Eisen is in the studio.
Thank you so much.
Great to see you, Rich.
I didn't know you had a studio audience here. That was impressive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we have a large peanut gallery here. Everyone enjoys the show except for the people who work on the show. They hate the show. And I think it's me. I'm pretty sure they're indifferent about you.
Yeah.
Rich is the anchor over on the NFL Network, which I took a tour of, I was saying to Rich, about a year ago. And it's quite a... Drew, new record. Only 55 seconds into the show before you hit the thing. Yeah,
quite a thing.
He usually whacks the mic with his coffee mug.
Is that right?
About 6 seconds into the show. So 55. I mean, that's a marathon.
He was pacing himself
this time
around. That's very well done.
Yeah. At this rate, Drew, you realize you're only going to whack the mic with your mug another 175 times before the show's over.
Tonight, I know. It was a special technique, too. I got that right under it.
Yeah. It really, you know what it was? When you watch amateurs fight, you see a lot of hooks, a lot of overhand rights and stuff. But when you move up to the upper echelon of the pros, you see the uppercut. You know what I mean? You see the guy dig that uppercut in.
James Toney.
They fought tonight. I TiVo'd it. I don't want to ruin it. Don't ruin it.
I don't know.
I know, but don't ruin it by pretending. I don't want you talking about it because someone's going to call in and tell me who won.
To me, the fight game went downhill when Mitch Blood Green left the game.
Yeah.
He was my favorite, Mitch Blood Green.
Mitch Blood Green was Tyson's arch nemesis.
Yes.
And it was great because not only did they clash in the ring, they would clash at bars and in the
Dapper
street
Dance.
And stuff.
If you remember, there was a late night... clothier in New York, Dapper Dan, where they threw down outside of on a street.
Mitch
is great.
Mitch Blood Green, by the way, had himself a serious J curl going. He had the Jerry curl,
serious activator.
Yeah, there's serious activator. And I could imagine him going back and his cut man reaching for the Vaseline and then going, "Wait a minute, Mitch, and just grab a little Jerry. There you go. Yeah, nothing's." Nothing's everything sliding off Mitch's head. Yeah, big guy.
Does Rick James have that look for a while?
Rick had that look probably 51 of his 53 years.
As soon as he had hair.
I'm guessing, yeah. I don't think he ever got his hair cut. And by the way, it was always the creepiest thing about Rick James. Okay. Rich Eisen's here,
Thank you so much, everybody.
All the great years over at ESPN and now... blazing his own trail over in the NFL Network. And I was thinking, obviously there's money involved and there's moving and sunny California getting away from Bristol, Connecticut and everything. But is the idea to, was it attractive to get in on the ground floor of something?
Sure, absolutely. It was a great opportunity to just start up something for the number one sport and number one organization in all of sports, basically. And they wanted to start something up in L.A.
Yeah.
Get out of central Connecticut,
which is nice.
That's nice, but
I totally I I don't know what the number one sport is, but in terms of friends of mine wanting to watch, it's football.
Good.
I mean, you know,
it should be the number one sport.
I love football. Yeah. It's the best. Always have. Always thought baseball. I can't stand when people get all nostalgic. I can't stand when Bob Costas talks about
when he drinks deep the aura of the game.
Yes.
And Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal. By the way, normally you got to weigh at least 150 pounds to be a blowhard. How can these two blow so hard at a .135? You know what I mean? That's shut up. Yeah. Your dad took you to a ball game. Shut up. Jesus Christ. You know what I was thinking about?
I'm
angry. Yeah,
he's venting. He's venting.
Never took him anywhere.
One goddamn preseason Rams game, my dad took me to some idiot in his office had the dignity to give the tickets away because, I'm not going to go to some stupid preseason Rams game. That's the only sporting event I ever went to with my dad. I'm not.
Is that your favorite football team, the LA Rams?
Okay. There's many things we got to talk about. First off, I get endless S from cousin Sal, Jimmy's cousin, Jimmy himself, and all the other a-holes over there at Jimmy Kimmel Live because I'm a Rams fan because I grew up a diehard Rams fan, yeah. and then they moved, and no other team moved in.
So you're still a St. Louis Rams fan.
Well, we yes. don't say that. Don't put those words together.
No, and obviously I can see that they've got to you, Rich.
No. I actually know some people in this town who are actually St. Louis Rams fans.
There's a lot of them.
Here's my point. Ah, all right. Now here's what I got to say to Kimmel about that. Kimmel was always a Garvey fan, you know, and he liked the Dodgers. And then Garvey went over the Padres, and he rooted for the Padres,
right.
you know, because he was a Garvey fan. Here's my whole thing. Here's what I keep telling these guys. Give me a team then. I don't have a team.
That's right.
Who am I supposed to start following?
They're
like, well, San Diego's pretty close. Ah, please. Everybody in this town, by the way, it's incredible. I work in an office. There's tons of New York fans, you know, the Giant fans. There's Pittsburgh fans. There's Dallas fans. There's nobody from Los Angeles who lives in Los Angeles. So it's this bizarre hodgepodge of sports
yes.
fans. And where else but Los Angeles could you get together? We'll go to Kimmel's house on a Sunday. There'll be 18 guys there representing 18 different teams.
Watching as many games they possibly
can. Imagine that going on in New England?
No.
There's
one game on. It's whatever the Patriots game is playing. You know, Cousin Sal created quite a stir at the Super Bowl this year with the at the media day.
Pretended to be a kicker.
He was John Casey.
Oh,
he went on the field as John Casey, the kicker of the Carolina Panthers, with a big blue ski cap on his head. I remember I was working in the we had a live show with the live media day on NFL Network, and I was up in the stands on our set, and all of a sudden I saw a guy who looked just like Cousin Sal wave at me with this big blue ski cap on and running down on the field in a full Panthers uniform.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, my God, that was Cousin Sal. And then sure enough, I find out later that it'll be a potential cold
fully
day.
Fully suited up.
Yeah, it could be a cold day in hell by the time he gets credentialed again for the next Super Bowl.
Somebody would just have to bring a target on his back being suited up.
Let me tell you something, because I'm convinced. Here's how Cousin Sal's going to die. Chokehold. I'm not saying who's going to do it. I don't know if it's going to be security, LAPD. I don't know if it's going to be Michael Jackson security. Somehow, chokehold is what's inevitably going to be his demise.
Or a taser accident.
Taser and chokehold.
At the same time. I think you've stumbled upon the combination.
Taser, chokehold.
Yes.
Don't think he hasn't tasered people, by the way, with one that he bought off the internet.
Nice.
All right. So, NFL.
Yeah.
The NFL Network going strong, doing good. A couple of things I got to say. First off, on the satellite dish, I think it just says NFL.
Yeah.
Which makes you think, oh, is this pay-per-view or something?
It'll screw you up.
So what do you guys
channel
do about
212.
That?
We're channel 212 on the satellite, DirecTV. Channel
right.
212.
Right.
You get us.
Is it part of the special package? You get it automatically.
You get it automatically. With DirecTV, you get us automatically.
Excellent.
Comcast, digital cable, you get us automatically.
Excellent.
You know, Charter communication for all those out there. Adelphia people are playing hardball with us right now.
Yeah.
We got to take them out at the knees with a stick.
Don't worry, I'm going to send my...
Do you need to take care of that?
I'm going to send Mitch Blood Green over there
to
rub some relaxer on him.
Yes.
And then beat the crap out of him.
And like a sissy and a homo, he ran. It's the famous Mitch Blood Green.
Yeah. It's got to be nice to be known for antagonizing Tyson.
Yeah.
Like, who are you? Oh, I'm the guy who used to call Tyson out and then scrap with him in the street about 4 a.m. in Brooklyn. That's like... for some reason, you've got to be scarier than Tyson.
Is he a scary guy?
Well, Tyson would beat him up.
Yes, okay. In the street.
But he was still the guy who decided it was a good idea to get things going.
One of the greatest rants is Mitch Blood Green going off on Tyson after Tyson slapped him down
him.
In the street. And his eyes are just all puffy because he's got the crap beaten out of him by Tyson.
Is this guy institutionalized now? Or what?
We don't know where he is right now.
He's working with children.
Of course.
Phoenix. Yeah, I don't know.
He's in the black hole in Raider Nation, I think Mitch Blood Green will be at that game Sunday night.
Yeah, and, you know, they fought in the ring, and, you know, Mitch acquitted himself decently, but he didn't win the fight, I don't believe. But he actually did okay. He was a big fighter. Yeah, he was a fighter.
Yeah.
And a lover.
And a lover, too.
And a lover.
Passionate man.
Bringing it full circle here.
All right. NFL Network 212, everybody.
On your DirecTV dollar,
yeah,
yes, sir.
Ain't going to cost a cent. Just go ahead and punch that up and see
Count me in.
Rich
nice.
And company.
I like the fact that you played the old tapes, not just the old NFL tapes.
Yeah, I mean, there's old games that you get on there, sure.
God.
And all NFL
God.
Films. I watched an entire half-hour show the other day on the butt slap.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I just found myself sitting on the couch saying, my God, I've spent the last 30 minutes watching a show about men slapping other men on the ass, and...
Nothing better than the old NFL.
Do you have any old
stuff?
Monday Night Football games you play?
No, actually, Howard Cosell's, we're told his estate does not want something like that to happen. I don't know if that's the truth or not, but...
He's pissing people off from the grave.
We have a hankering to hear him narrate a halftime highlights reel.
Oh, my God. Oh. He's the greatest.
Sir Francis of Target.
he would always do this. He'd call the guy the speedster from Syracuse. He didn't have a name. And then he'd do this one, which I always love, when he'd go, they said he didn't have the speed to play in the NFL. But don't tell him that!
As he hits the burst of speed in the hole right there.
86 yards, touchdown. No, nullified. Holding call. Back goes on. What happened? I thought they won. No, nullified. Holding call. Sir Francis of Tarkington throwing to him, man. Sammy White.
Great OJ narrations, too.
Old awesome. This is ridiculous. It's a radio show. It ain't a one-hour television spectacular.
Genius.
I'll tell you, those halftime highlights. And here's the thing. Now maybe this has to do with the Cosell estate.
That you couldn't find it.
I went to the Museum of Radio, History, Radio, and Tolerance, actually, combined them
that's
all.
That's fascinating.
In New York, yeah.
That's fascinating.
Go to a thing on the Holocaust, you go see reruns of What's Happening up top. They did combine.
It's amazing.
Manhattan is a small
rerun and Hitler
town.
All under one
all
roof.
All under
it's
one
amazing.
Roof.
It's amazing. They
ought to really do that. Go ahead and put the Automotive Museum on there, too. Why not? All right, the point is we went over there, and I was like, oh, this is great. First thing I got to see Chico and the Man. They never really got that into syndication. I got to see that. Number two, I got to see Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football with Howard Cosell. Where is it? And the guy's like, well, we don't have that.
It's amazing.
And I was like, you're the Museum of Television, Radio, and Tolerance. Where's Monday Night Football? Howard Cosell, I mean,
First Rainbow Coalition.
First shipment you guys should have got was that
Monday
should have been on the package.
I don't know if I'm telling tales out of school or I think it has to do with that there's a lot of rights issues. A lot of it has to do with Cosell and.
I don't believe that for a minute.
Yeah. Well, then they got to put it out there as a separate...
Hold on. We've done this show for 9 years. Never heard one Cosell drop. Anderson, how long have you been sitting on those, buddy?
Cosell never ever comes up, bro.
And how many more are there?
I don't know. I'm sifting through them right now.
Unload the vault as far as I'm concerned.
The arsenal, yeah.
It's genius.
Yeah, well, I would pay $50 to see one halftime of any random game. And here's the other thing.
Any of them.
Let me ask you this, Rich. I don't know what the plans are for the network, but here's a plan of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I've talked about this with some of my retarded sports aficionado buddies, as soon as football season ends, I'm jonesing badly for football.
Right.
And I'm like an alcoholic. I don't need a Dom Perignon. I just need a hit of a Sterno or something. I need lighter fluid, something to take the edge off.
How about a 1999 Browns Bengals game or something like that?
Yeah, that's
what I'm
saying.
We do that. We have 2 hour rears.
Start showing.
Yeah.
Here's what I always said. Why don't we see Monday Night Football starting at the first one they did it, as soon as this season
all the
ends?
Way through.
Like, when they start? 1971 or whatever
during
it is.
During their 35th year now, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. Okay, 1970, 1969. Yeah. All right, boom. The season ends. The Pats win the Super Bowl. I'm angry. And pow, it's 1969 and Danny Dunn and Howard
Cosell
and Alex Carras. And boom, we just start, whatever that game is. And I guarantee... Nobody knows who won any of those games by now.
The first season, by the way, Keith Jackson was the play-by-play guy. Keith Jackson, yeah, and then Frank Gifford replaced him.
Yeah, if you want
to go real old school there.
If I'm seeing the Rams play the 49ers in 1976, I have no idea who won this ball game.
It's great.
You know, and I'll watch the whole game.
Just transfixed.
Like, what's the difference? And I'm just hearing the old names. I'd love to see the commercials that were in there. Crappy Dodge cars, Aspen. Schaefer beer. Yeah, Schaefer beer. Yeah, I mean, it'd be awesome. The crappy stereo equipment and
all
stuff.
All the advertisements for the various shows.
Yeah, what about that? What now? I know Monday Night Football's ABC, but is it NFL too?
The NFL obviously has a say in a lot of this stuff, but you know, then it's also rights and players, and there's a lot of issues that we're slowly working on. But right now, we've got in the off season 2-hour game re-airs of CBS and Fox games of the last 5-6 years.
Oh, good.
Peyton Manning, Steve Young battle back in 99 that we showed the other day. It was great.
I have no
idea who wins that game.
I could gamble on those games easily because I have no idea.
Right.
I really would know. And if someone, Drew, you would be a guy who would gamble with me because you're not only a passionate man, but you have your dignity. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't check the internet.
No.
We just
yeah,
it'd
be great. In fact,
go over
and business there.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. And by the way, we need some of that stuff freed up. I'll talk to Mitch Blood Green.
Yes, please do.
And talk to Cosell's family, will you?
Mitch Blood Green would be a great attorney. Attorney, Mitch Blood Green. Beating the crap out of you with an attaché case. All right. Let's talk to Christina, who's 16. Christina?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I can tell you've been riveted by all this NFL talk, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Who Howard Cosell is, Christina?
No, sir.
Damn it, I have no more time.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, why would you know who he is? Go ahead.
Okay, I was
Drew,
wondering...
How old do you feel right now?
I was just thinking how angry I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Okay. I was wondering if, masturbating by, water pressure or whatever you want to say, does it, can it hurt me?
No.
In any way?
That's all fine.
Yeah.
You should enjoy.
Yeah. What you don't want to use is, glass beads or acorn shells, walnut shells. Like the sandblaster.
Right.
You don't want to use that.
But water's good.
Water's
fine.
Water's fine.
But whenever I orgasm, it hurts.
Hurts when you urinate or something?
No.
No, Drew.
Whenever I orgasm, it's just it hurts to go. I have to stop.
With the water?
Yeah,
it just gets too sensitive. That's all. You just gotta back off. That's fine. That's all right.
Oh, it's all normal?
Normal, yeah.
Yeah, it's all normal.
And why can't I get off when I finger myself? It doesn't do anything at all.
Hold on a second. Yeah, I was thinking about Christina and like a lucrative phone sex type gig, and I think the vocabulary's there, but we need some work on the delivery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm really hot.
Poor Christina.
I'm panicking.
A lot of people can't even do what she does, especially at your age.
You're way ahead of the game.
Yeah, you're way ahead. Don't ask for more right now.
Don't grow up too fast.
You're fine.
I just got whiplash from the Segway.
Yeah, really.
By the way, I mean, but from Cosell to a water pick.
Yeah.
My God, what happened to me?
Being T-boned by a tractor trailer.
Love line.
You're sitting there in the intersection.
Is that what it is? I just got love lined? Is that what
I
can see?
That's what happened.
Very good.
Christina?
Yes.
You're fine.
Right, you're fine.
Christina,
you okay?
Good. You're good.
Okay.
All right.
You sound like the son from King of the Hill.
Really?
Yeah, you really do.
That's not a compliment.
Let's get to the sex.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I believe that I'm a slut.
Anderson digging deep tonight.
Yeah.
Cosell and the son. I'm trying to think of who else I can bring up just to see if the guy is...
How is there no Mitch Blood Green now?
Yeah. Give us some Stewie.
Blah, 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 blah. All right. All right, leave him alone. Let's talk to...
Unacceptable.
Let's talk to Tracy, who's 24. Tracy?
Hi.
What's happening?
About 3 years ago, I contracted the herpes simplex virus from my ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I had one outbreak at that time. It was very devastating. And obviously, ever since then, I have not had an outbreak, but I have pre-symptoms, tingling, very slight, I think I'm about to have an outbreak, but I never do. I haven't had one since then.
Are you on any medication to suppress the outbreaks?
I have taken Valtrex, but it makes me sick.
Is that the commercial where they're kickboxing?
Kickboxing or maybe surfing on weeds. I don't know.
Now, let me say this about these commercials where these chicks are working out. Does every chick have her own blimp hanger to work out in? There's no one else around. There's just a ring in the middle.
They have mats.
Her and her Taekwondo instructor and a weirdly lit thing working out with the guy. What kind of gym is this? Go ahead and put somebody on a treadmill behind you.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. And look, I don't want to see...
Well, she has herpes, so nobody else can be there.
Oh, there's a shame. There's a shame factor.
Yeah, yeah. Except she's not ashamed.
Yeah, she's living her life.
Yeah.
Does she have to be kicking the crap out of, bataka pads? Hey, Tracy?
Yeah.
And you don't hear the simplex anymore. It's just herpes, right?
Well, it's a simplex type. Tracy is so angry that she has to bring out every detail about this.
Oh, really? Are you angry, Tracy?
I'm not angry.
All right.
But I'm still continuing with my question.
All right.
That's not anger. How dare you, Adam? How dare you?
All right. Drew decided you're angry, and now I'm starting to agree with him.
So go ahead.
All right. Where's your dad?
He's in Texas.
Uh-huh. And you're in Indiana.
Yeah.
What's he doing down there?
He's on military duty.
Uh-huh. Ooh. Do you love him?
Sometimes.
You ever do anything bad to you?
No.
He never hits you or anything?
No, he hit all my brothers and sisters, but he never hit me.
Interesting. So he's not the kind of aggressive, rageful guy.
Yeah.
Right,
that's where some of that anger we're picking up come from. So there you go. Okay, so what's the rest of your question?
Okay. The rest of my question is, now I haven't had any outbreaks, but I know I have this virus, and I know that I can pass it along to someone, you know, if I have unprotected sex. And ever since I broke up with my ex, which has been a while, every time I feel like I'm about to have feelings for someone, I draw back. All I think about is, oh God, this poor guy, he's going to have herpes one day, and I'm never going to have kids, and it's just this whole downward spiral of just doom, sort of, and I don't know how to tell someone.
I'm going to kill myself.
Why does she go to the never having kids thing? I'm going to straighten that out.
I don't know. She thinks she's going to give him herpes.
I know. That's the point. Not going to happen.
All right. Not going to happen. What happens with kids?
For the most part.
Racing stripe or what happens?
Sometimes. But for the most part, they have less of a problem than we used to think. And they can do C-sections if there's any evidence.
That would be horrible. Like a herpes stripe going all, starting at the crown, going all the way down the kid's foot. Yeah.
Coup de sable.
So what about it? So they can take care of that.
Yeah, that can be taken care of.
She's not even having outbreaks anymore.
I know. The problem is she's so ashamed of this that she's completely just beating the crap out of herself.
Let me cleanse her for a second. Tracy.
How do I tell people? Yes.
You're all up in your head, baby.
If a guy's into you, Tracy, he will he'll break through a force field of herpes to get to you.
That's right.
So,
I will climb a mountain of herpes to get to the woman I love.
Right.
Mount Herpes. You been there?
I have. It's a great place to visit.
It's nice.
This time of year.
Yeah. It can get a little crowded, so you got to make reservations.
I know. It's beautiful. 4-star.
Yeah. Mm. But I'll tell you, put your food in a tree. A bear will get it there. Tear it all
Mount
up.
Herpes.
Mount Herpes. It's a great song,
anyway,
too.
So she,
all right, I'm done with that, Tracy.
Yeah, but she's angry, and she's up in her head, and she's making a self-fulfilling prophecy out of not being. I mean, she sabotages everything.
I know. Really, Rich is sitting here, and he's thinking, what do you know? They asked. She had a herpes question. Why are you all up in her grill about her disposition? But that's all we do.
Yeah, you just...
You just hear the voice. You just hear the voice, and you read them.
Yeah.
It's how they make us feel. So much is in the voice, yeah.
No kidding.
It's how they make us feel.
Tracy's angry. And she is a sort of flair for the retarded and dramatic, too. She'll never love again.
Negativity.
And have kids. And, they got medications. Take that. You do a little kickboxing in the
medication can decrease the risk of transmission. If a guy is into you, he will break. He will continue
he doesn't
on.
Care.
He won't care.
Fine.
He'll put on a condom and put you on Valtrex. That'll be that. Or something else. Overax.
It's not always in a hangar either. It's sometimes out in a field.
Yeah,
well, wheat seems big.
When they're doing stuff in the field, that's more the
allergy
stuff. Like, look at this guy's windsurfing in a field. They should just really say what the stuff's for, because I feel bad that I can't get in on it. Like, I'm disappointed when I don't have whatever it's for at the end. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, good luck snowboarding in a wheat field. You don't have seasonal allergies.
Sorry, you don't have immunoblastic lymphoma.
We can pissed now. Can I get that, Drew? Yeah. Can you infect me somehow? Nothing?
No, no.
Nothing I can get. All right. Rich Eisen is here, everybody, from the NFL Network. Total Access is the name of his show, 8 p.m. Here in Los Angeles. 212.
Channel 212.
212 is where you will find it. And it's right in there. It's right nestled in amongst ESPN and what the hell else? I mean, it's right there.
Well, it
right?
used to be like in the old, like, DirecTV. This is what's on pay-per-view. So a lot of people don't have it programmed into their remote
right.
control. So they just go from, like, the last ESPN channel or whatever.
Right.
Or the next thing is. But we're there. We've been there since November. And
right.
It's, but Comcast is the, they're the daddy.
It's,
they put
it's
us on digital cable.
It's an interesting thing. And I know we got to go to break, Anderson, but I just want to say real fast. You get the TV now. The TV has 785 channels. Three quarters of them are just Mexican soaps. And so the old lady's got to go through the thing and start zapping all the whatever. Otherwise,
right.
you'll just be scrolling through, you know, you'll be watching donkeys humping from Argentina. There's 700 channels of that. They go, but she doesn't know any better, so she puts the kibosh on the NFL channel because she thinks it's a pay-per-view.
Oh.
And then you blissfully
dreadful.
Go in there and just start scrolling and you miss it.
Dude, it's an outrage.
Don't let that happen to you.
Don't.
That happened to me. Don't let it
Such
happen to
outrage.
You. I'm back now, though, Rich.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Sunday Korn in here, then Interpol, then Seth MacFarlane from the Family
yeah.
Guy. And we're having the band Boston in here.
Wow.
Yeah. Used to play a lot of air guitar to them back in the day. And, yeah. If our listeners don't know who Howard Cosell is, wait till they get a load of Boston.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be a throwback show on a week from now, I think, when they're in here. And Rich Eisen. Yeah, they may be dead in a week, Drew. They may not make it that long. Those guys are clinging alive. I know. I'm going to kiss some Boston ass.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. You
like
when
them.
Their first album came out, I was 12 or 13 or something.
Wow.
It was the greatest album I ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
I listened to it 1,000 times. Yeah.
Well, your week starts with Korn and ends with Boston. You're running the gamut there.
Really?
Korn and Interpol.
Yes, that's the spectrum.
It really is the spectrum. God bless this show, too, by the way, because you have Rich Eisen on here talking sports, then you go to Korn, then you got Seth MacFarlane, you got IndyCar drivers, Boston. Cake's coming on. Where the hell's it all end, Drew? Where does it end, I tell you?
Cake
going to be in here.
Yeah,
good band. All right, so Rich, of course, seven illustrious years on SportsCenter and now on the NFL Network. 212, everybody, right in the mix. I think ESPN has like a 208, a 209 or something like that.
They're right around there.
Right in there.
We're in the mix.
You know what's a little confusing is the Fox Sports West all the way up into the 700s.
Banished. They've been banished.
They've been kicked out of the sports corral. Yeah, they got shoved in with the pay-per-view and the porn, and they're back.
Thank God they're
close to Playboy, because I'm always hovering.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm always within striking distance of a channel near Playboy.
Right. They're right near that like that cool jazz channel and stuff like that, right around there.
Yeah, they're way up.
Your salsa, you just go to channel 653.
Yeah.
And
by the way,
your Angels covered.
Not until you start scrolling through the satellite music thing to try to get to the other side, do you realize how many goddamn forms of music there are. It's like,
amazing.
All right. They start big. It's like, okay, country, all right, classical, R&B. Then it's like salsa. Then it's Mediterranean salsa and it's Greek salsa. It's like, what, there's 40 kinds of salsa here? Mm-hmm. And then it's easy listening and then super easy listening and then Latin easy listening
right.
and contemporary jazz and
everybody's got
jazz.
An easy
like,
listening.
Yeah, it's like, there's 350 kinds of music here, and 300 of them suck. Come on, stick to the main stuff.
Huh.
Not even, stick to the stuff I like. That's what I'm saying. Does anyone really listen to contemporary salsa?
No, I just love your facial expression. You don't even say, you're just reacting.
It's great for radio, though, isn't it? It's fantastic.
It is great.
Yeah, and then, you know, the thing
it's
is, you put them on TV, and it's just like, it looks like a chalkboard, just with nothing on it, just a blank slate, just one of those dry erase boards that just got wiped down with a handy wipe.
It's not a blank, it's frozen.
It's frozen.
It's different.
Right.
Quiet Cool.
That's right.
All right. Yeah, that's one of the stations, by the way, you got to go
through. Say Quiet Cool.
Quiet Cool.
It's great. It's right near Fox Sports West 3.
Oh, Yeah,
I
know.
The Fox Sport, yeah, right. There's the N's and 2's and 5's. I can't figure. I'm trying to find a Dodger game. I can't.
I was trying to tape the James Toney fight tonight on Fox Sports West, and couldn't. My wife, she evaporated it from the thing. I had to go back to the main thing and put the thing. Oh, man.
You can restore evaporated James Toney fights?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah,
technology.
Bring the channel back. Oh. I gave her a whacking like Mitch Blood Green, I'll tell you that. She got to learn, Drew. You don't mess with that. All right. Callie?
Hi.
17?
Hi. Adam, Dr. Drew, you guys are my idols. I love you.
wow.
Anyways, I was calling because I think I might be a sex addict.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tell us more.
Tell you more. I just got out of my 8th rehab about a month ago.
For what?
This time around, it was meth.
No, well, you're an addict. Sex is about 80% of the time. Sex is part of it.
When
you're in your disease and doing the crazy things that addiction makes you do, sexual acting is often part of that. And if you are not actively engaged in recovery and trying not to use, you'll also see people do sort of thrill seeking.
80%
of addicts have sexual addiction features.
I frequently run into the 20%
that don't,
dormant.
Just addicts.
Those are the only ones I ever saw.
So you may not be peculiarly a sex addict. It may just be part of your addictive. Are you a trauma survivor? Are you sexually abused going on?
No, I'm not. Another thing is that I'm only attractive to like a significantly older men.
Mm. You weren't sexually abused?
I was not sexually abused. Both my parents are therapists.
That's abuse right there.
That is abuse, definitely.
But it's funny, you don't sound like a trauma survivor. You don't make us feel like that, but certainly you're an addict. And so why isn't recovery taking hold for you?
I don't know. I just don't think I'm done. And
there you go.
Getting it.
You know what, Kelly?
Yes.
All right, there you go.
Are
you done? I would be angry if I was done doing drugs at 17. You know?
My prime
years are ahead of me.
Very difficult to treat people under 20.
Yeah.
It is.
Really difficult.
But in a way, it's easier because they're more pliable, right? I mean, like a bone breaking heals better in a young person.
If you can get it to take,
they
keep running on it, you get a worse longer term problem.
Mm-hmm. Kelly.
Yes.
Do you know who Howard Cosell is?
I don't know who Howard Cosell is. I'm sorry, but
I gotta talk to Kelly some more. Hang on.
Well, and Rich has to smash his head in with a coffee mug.
That's okay.
So I'll just hit the mic with it.
There it is.
Go ahead, Callie.
I know the difference between veal
Callie.
And venison. Okay.
You know the difference between veal and venison?
Yes, I do.
All right. Can you name all members of the band Korn?
No. Sorry.
Okay.
I liked
them
when I was about 13. But
can you name one?
Can I name one?
Yeah.
Nobody has dreadlocks, I can tell you that much.
Oh, by the way, how old are we that she was into Korn when she was young?
But she was way back when she was 13.
Yeah.
She's into Korn.
They're playing. You hear them on the classic rock stations.
Korn. I'm getting depressed.
She was 13 when she was into Korn. That was back when?
Way back in the day.
Oh, Drew.
Don't stop.
Kelly.
Listen, one thing I've noticed about people getting ready to get well from addiction, there's two things that really get people to make that change. One is when you believe you're going to die. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you believe that yet.
I went into meth-induced psychosis on a Greyhound bus, and I started freaking out and thought everyone was trying to kill me, and I wound up being stranded in New Mexico.
I understand you've had some heavy things happen, but if you're not done doing drugs, you don't believe they're going to kill you yet.
Yeah, see, the thing is, I thought that was, like, my final bottom, and I don't know how much lower I can go.
I've seen some pretty low bottoms.
Bristol.
The other way,
you get Rich's old apartment out in Bristol. That's lower.
That's low.
The other way I see people want to get well sometimes is when they disgust themselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
They just feel. And what happens, the real trick is how do you get to the point where you can actually look at yourself realistically?
I do that when I masturbate, but then I'm over it the next day. Right. I'm right back on the train.
Actually,
I'm always disgusted. Like, oh, please. That never again. Never. You're a mess.
Declare it.
Have some dignity, man. Oh, look at you. Oh, with the hamper. Stay in the hamper. That's where you belong. But the next day, hey, what do we got? Yeah.
But I'll tell you, Kelly, the way you can get to the point where I've interviewed a lot of people with to get to that moment of clarity, and it seems to me one of the things, the common features of people that have those moment of clarities is a new kind of a relationship. Not the sexual acting out, not the guys, just somebody interesting that's not the kind of person you would normally hang around with, but who can actually appreciate you. Just hang out with that person.
You know who that man is?
Yeah. See,
Mitch Blood Green.
I have, like, all my friends are really decent people, and I kind of wonder why they hang out with me.
Who is this?
Like, all my friends, like, they're pretty much, they're all still in school. Like,
well, they're not the right people yet.
All right, here's the thing. You're 17. Once in a while, these chicks are 17. They're too smart. They're too smart.
Surely
for
smart.
Their own
yeah,
yeah she's smart.
She doesn't sound 17 to me.
No. Here's the whole thing, and we were talking about this last break. First off, you sort of sound like what you are more than how old you are or what your education is or what color you are. You sound like when you're angry, you sound angry. Racist sound like racist. You know, stupid sounds stupid. Everything sounds like sort of what they are. And she's 17, but she sounds, because she's been to rehab 8 times, she's an old soul. You know what I mean? People mm-hmm. that grew up fast, have seen a lot, have been through a lot, they don't sound, when they're 17, they don't sound 17. I mean, we talk to women that are 22, but they have 3 kids, and they're on their second divorce, and they got the crap beat out of them when they were 11 by their stepdad. They sound like they're Vietnam nurses, you know? I mean, they sound like they're women in their 40s. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam. Absolutely.
Right. Drew making the face,
absolutely.
Everybody.
Well, I'd want to impress Rich.
Yeah, Rich.
It's great radio. I'm very impressed.
All right. So Callie needs to slow it up. I don't know what to do.
You know, maybe try a sponsor. Try, again, maybe if you get in, just do the steps. Put your butt in a seat. As they say, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth.
Oh, really? Is that what they say?
Yeah. And sit with a sponsor and see if you can get somewhere to where you can really see what you're doing to yourself.
Is there anything worse than the blowhard motivational drug
take
speech
the cotton
guy?
Out of your ears and put it in your mouth.
It's very homespun.
And then they say, people, I will promise you this. That guy, the super blowhard guy. I hate that guy. You will be in a place one day when you're ready to hear these words. But when you get to, and nobody, and when you're in that cell and you're alone, oh, you'll find Jesus in there. Super blowhard drug guy. And then he has to keep working his seat. Don't think I know. I used to consume a kilo of methamphetamine every morning on my cereal. Okay? Do you understand? You understand? I was an entrepreneur. I was a businessman. I was successful. I had a loving wife. Had 3 beautiful daughters. Lost it all. All up, went up my nose. And I didn't care. What do we got to do with those guys? This is the same guy. He's balding, but he's got the ponytail. He's blowing her. He's sort of, you don't want to F with him because he's got big forearms and he seems blustery, but you still think he probably doesn't have much wind and you could take him, you know? And he makes you a lot of promises, does this, tells you how much you think you know everything now.
Excuse
he
me,
thought
you've been,
he
you've
knew.
Been to some
speaker
meetings.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I know the blowhard. I thought I knew everything, too. Oh, no, you couldn't tell me anything.
You sound angry. Sound angry.
I'm that good an actor. Yeah. Right?
Very good.
Rich Eisen here, everybody. We'll take a quick break. NFL Network 212. Don't let your wife evaporate it. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Buddy, love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Yeah, Rich Eisen here tonight from the NFL Network. A pioneer left ESPN.
Literally.
Literally a pioneer.
Blazing my trail.
Blazing his trail.
Came over here with a covered wagon.
Heading west, yes.
I did.
And how was it your decision received over there at ESPN? Was it, were they PO'd? Co-workers angry?
No, my co-workers were not angry.
They weren't?
No one was. No, no. But my invitation to return for the 25th anniversary somehow got lost in the mail.
Oh, yeesh.
Yeah. How's that for a little fodder for you?
Yeah,
that's something we didn't know.
I don't understand after, you know, 7 years of loyal service.
That's right, damn it.
I got to do that to you.
No, there's some great people over there. Yeah. I keep in touch with a lot of them.
What's
and they vent, they bitch, they complain.
How much of the Sports Center is on the teleprompter, and how much of it is off the cuff? You know,
most of any time that the anchor is on camera, it's mostly prompter. But after that, it's all off the cuff. You know, you get
When you're direct to camera, it's prompter.
When you're direct to camera, it's prompter, and when you're doing your highlights, you get something called a shot sheet that describes all the action in like notation form, and you just ad lib from there.
Oh, I see. Right.
Fact,
oh, yeah. Right.
My first Sports Center that I did, which was in March of '96, it was a March Madness. It was a round of 32, so there were so many games coming down, mm-hmm. and I remember There were like 15 highlights that I had, and I only had one shot sheet walking down. The rest are brought to you in the middle of the show, and you ad-lib.
Wow.
And I remember I thought to myself I could wet myself, or I could go out and actually do something. So thankfully, I chose the latter.
And wet yourself.
And then I wet myself afterwards. Okay. And then I called Loveline.
I like when you have to come up with different words for wins.
Yeah.
Like when it's like Villanova over UCLA, Boston College tops
yes.
Connecticut.
Yes.
Because I guess as you keep going, eventually start running. running. And you could just say wins. Yeah, I'll go with
beats,
that.
Beats.
Yeah.
Crushes. Wax.
Right, right. Yeah, just keep going. If you can do a little alliteration,
shellacks.
It's nice. Shellacking is nice.
You like that
you
one?
You rarely hear about a team being varnished, but shellacking is very popular, and it's really about the same stuff. You know what
buffed,
I mean?
You don't hear buffed.
You don't hear buffed. It is funny, like the shellac. I mean, that's just good free advertising for shellac. Whereas, like I said, the varnish people really dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah, they've lost out. I can start that. You know, at the NFL Network.
I'll tell you.
You know, the Packers varnished the the Colts this weekend, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, you could...
I could work that. I could work a varnish in for you.
Eventually, it's going to work into, Packers, Thompson, water sealed the Colts, and then people are going to start getting suspicious.
Some friends of mine out here in L.A. are big Godfather fans and want me to work in the line. They're animals anyway. Let them lose their souls somehow into a sports broadcast. And I don't think that's going to be possible.
Well,
you know, that's
but you worked into a Loveline broadcast.
I did. Here it is. I did, actually.
There you go.
How about that?
All right, let's talk to... I want to talk to Kevin with the man boobs.
Yeah.
Always funny. Kevin?
Yeah.
18.
Right here. Yeah.
Man boobs since 14.
Yeah, since about 13 or 14.
How to get rid of them?
How to get rid of them. It affects my confidence with women and stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
And he's got quite an active
life. He's got quite a
life,
too. Yeah. All right. All right, Sierra. Oh,
smoke some pot.
You smoke a lot of weed, Kevin?
I started like a year ago.
No,
but
Kevin.
I had them before that.
I hear the pot laugh.
Hold on. I like the part where people tell you how they hadn't done whatever we accuse you of doing
long ago.
Before. like you get pulled over and an officer's like, "Have you been drinking tonight?" Well, if you'd pulled me over last Wednesday, officer, like about noon, stone cold sober. Tonight, well, it's a different story. Yes, I'm S-faced. Yes. I know I speak clearly for somebody who's S-faced. Kevin?
Yeah.
All right, so, yes, you do smoke pot, but before you didn't.
Yeah, I didn't. I had them before.
So. You mean you weren't born smoking pot? You
there
didn't
was
smoke pot your entire
when,
life?
From out of the womb.
There was a time when Janis Joplin didn't drink. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or do heroin.
Right. Well,
here's the deal. Kevin.
Yeah.
Chris, you know Janis Joplin?
Oh,
you do.
Oh, good. Who is she?
Howard Cosell?
What?
Janis Joplin. Good. Yeah. Good.
Okay.
It still sounds bad. I thought you said it was working all right.
That's Howard.
What is all that?
That's Howard.
That's Howard.
But, I mean, what is he doing?
He's probably taping Sports Beat.
Yeah.
I'm watching Sports Center, actually, but...
All right, Kevin.
He's watching it right now. Is that what he's doing?
Yeah.
Kevin.
Be watching.
All right, Kevin, here's the deal. The man boob thing is something that usually comes on in young males around 13 to 15. It sometimes goes away on its own. Obviously, you want to keep your weight down. That will help it out. If it doesn't go away, there are surgical procedures, liposuction, things like that can be done. Sometimes they actually have a plastic procedure that has to be done to take the breast tissue out. But the one thing you can do for yourself immediately is stop smoking pot because that tends to add to it.
Yes. All right. Plus, you get stoned, look down, and see a C cup, you're going to freak out.
Or you yell, "Freak out!"
You can give yourself a good feeling up.
Oh, that's you.
That's you. Yeah. I would immediately put on a bra and then go right up it. You know what I mean?
And then you'd be disgusted. Declare you're never going to do it again.
Never going to do it.
He should stop watching SportsCenter and watch NFL Network, which is the network of man breasts. And these linemen are...
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen these offensive linemen?
400 pounds these days.
It's the home of man breasts.
NFL yeah, really, it
so
really
it's
is
a mark
your,
of masculinity now.
It's your headquarters.
If you're over 300
boobs.
Pounds. If you're
yeah.
over 300
so
pounds.
So what if he's grossly overweight?
Engineer Anderson is going to win
he's
a. What do they have for radio? Like a Peabody?
Nothing. But he'll win it.
A Marconi.
Oh, Marconi. He's going to
billboard.
Phone.
I mean, this is ridiculous. It's a radio show.
Yes, he's going to get a Marconi. Catherine?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes.
You want to sell one of your eggs?
Maybe.
All right.
What's the question?
Yeah, that was it. Basically, I've seen like advertisements for egg donors needed, and they pay pretty good sum, and it sounds nice, but I'm not sure about it because it seems like it could.
Well, let me see if I can put a ballpark number on your egg.
For the donation,
where you donate it, you get $5,000.
And
it'd be nice if everything worked that way.
I'd like to donate some time again.
Yeah, I'd donate an old broken-down car to the Jewish League, and I get $5,000.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
All right, Catherine, let's see. So you're not donating your egg, you're selling your egg.
Yeah, that's what they call
it. Okay, how tall are you?
5'1".
Uh-oh. Ooh. All right, I'm going to start at $5,000. We'll move it around. We're down to 3,300, by the way. level of education?
I'm in college.
Junior college?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, now we're at minus $26. Actually, if you gave an egg, you'd have to give an egg and $20. You actually owe money. I think you're 5'1", you're going to junior college. So you could only get worse.
All right, we got to finish this assessment.
All right, Rich Eisen's here. Yeah. Hold on, we got to take a break.
Yeah.
We'll be back. Let's try to get a dollar amount for Catherine's egg after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Rich Eisen in studio tonight.
Thank you.
Porn going to be in here on Sunday night. So, running the gamut here. Korn not been in the studio for a while.
Long while.
So it'll be good to see those guys. All right, so when we last... by the way, Rich, NFL Network. Channel
212.
212,
on
everybody.
Your DirecTV dial, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's really... And I don't know how it works, but when the... And you guys haven't really been around long enough, I guess, to know all this, but I would imagine... There's a lot of people, you know, football is, it's heroin to a lot of people, whereas everything else, the hockey, the baseball, even the basketball, it becomes sort of, people have
background.
A passing interest in it, but
right.
When the football season starts up, it's visceral.
Right,
it's
it is.
It's like it's on, and people start getting, you know, 2 weeks before the first kickoff, people are starting getting anxious, start talking about what they're going to be doing and stuff like that. You don't see that with baseball or football. You know, let me say something about baseball.
While you're on the subject.
Yeah, while I'm on the subject, while I bring it up, people give me crap because, I watch the series and everything, but I'm just not a day-in, day-out guy because they play 160-something games.
I was about to say that's a problem if you're not a day-in, day-out sports fan because if that's the case, then baseball's every 2 seconds.
Somebody was, you know, it was like last week, and I was doing Best Damn Sports, or maybe it was this week, and then they were like, oh, you're still bagging on baseball? Look, I said, look. You know how many games there is as many games left in Major League Baseball right now as there is in the entire football season. One of them started a year ago, and the other one started last week, and they got the same number, like 14 games left or whatever. Really? You guys can't fit you can't settle it in 100 games?
You know, the other thing you've missed since you've been playing football is when I was coaching my kids' football thing, you get out in the field, the smell of the grass and stuff, and the air and the wind, it's, oh, my God, it's transporting.
What sort of coach are you?
I was my kids are on a little junior All-American football team a couple years ago, and I assisted. You know,
your assistant? I mean, were you a defensive coordinator? Or were
no,
you...
I wouldn't call it a player. I was just giving them fundamentals, tackling and blocking, that kind
Tell
of stuff.
Tell them to wrap up, square up. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Break it down.
Break it down, boys.
Yeah, no, break it down. Not break it, not grab a knee, break it down. Break it down. The linebacker's got it. You got to break it down.
You know what
I mean? Gotta just re-break it down.
Yeah,
but they're so eager to learn. And blocking is a big mystery for little kids.
Oh yeah. Blocking's no fun, by the way.
Just getting
them
out of their stance into
And blocking is basically football equivalent to bunting.
Try and teach a class on football, by the way, which I did once. It was really difficult to be. You know, it was a learning annex class in New York where I decided to just screw it. Let's get it for beginners and. You had a whole group of people, like football widows, who wanted to know what their husbands were doing.
Knew nothing.
Knew nothing. Immigrants. And there I was, you know, talking about... seriously, just explain the game to somebody who has no clue. Like first downs and yards and third down and holding and declining penalties and all that stuff. And
I would start getting angry.
It was funny. Yeah. There's a guy in the back of the room... was sitting there with his arms crossed, staring at me, and about 40 minutes in, goes, "You're not doing a good job of this." And I'm like, what do you mean, sir? And he goes, I know the game of football. I'm like, what are you doing here? He said, because I want to make sure my wife is being taught by somebody who knows what he's talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, well, listen, if you would have spoken to your wife for the last 20 years, we wish you wouldn't have to come here and be taught by a guy you think doesn't know anything.
You know? what a guy.
Had you been breaking it down at that point?
At that point, I was like, my God, what was I doing there? But it's not easy teaching that game. It's pretty whacked out to somebody who has no idea.
What did you expect? Let me explain this, Stu. You have to, especially if you have a son, teach him. There's a couple things you need to teach a son. He has to be able to throw the ball and not look like a homo.
Yep.
That's number one.
Baseball and football.
Let me explain what happens
Baseball
and football. Let me explain what happens later in life. You get a job. You start hanging out with a bunch of guys. Next thing you know, there's a company softball game.
Trouble.
And all the buzz Monday morning around the water coolers, what a fairy you throw like. That's horrible. The other thing, too, is
it's all in the footwork.
Not knowing the just basic rules of baseball and football. Well, so here's the guy. Okay, I'm just talking about this guy. What about this guy? This guy gets the endless razzing. He hits. He's legging it out to first base. But gets beat by the throw because he holds up. He doesn't want to go past.
Right.
Yeah. Go past. Right. That's the guy.
Strains his knee.
Did you grow up in a kaput
somewhere?
Strains
his knee by straightening it out into the first base.
Right. That guy. And then the next time you tell him, look, no, run through. You can run through and turn around and come back. But he turns left and walks back. And then there's the a-hole who tags him out.
Yeah.
And he's angry, too. It's like, okay, all right, Mitch, come on. Let him back on the back. He turned in! It's like, I know, but he doesn't even know. His folks are from Sweden. No, he's out. He's out. I like that guy because someone doesn't know the game. And hell, it's his fault. He should have.
That's why I asked about Cousin Sal. Did he play football in high school or anything, Cousin Sal?
Yeah, I think he did.
He did,
yeah.
Okay. Because somehow he seems like the kind of guy, if you got all suited up, you just want to put a shoulder into.
Yeah.
For some reason, you just want to.
You want to throw a shoulder into Cousin Sal like you want to go, "You're so boy," to like a fat lab.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just want to grab him and start shaking his belly and knock him down and start rolling him around.
Yeah, if he were suited up, I would have to, like, tackle him.
Well, he would have to tackle you, too, and then that would be the problem.
There wouldn't be, though. When you see
Marilyn Manson, you don't need to, put your shoulder into. Cousin Sal, you treat him like a lab.
I was recently asked by Jimmy to show up and do the play-by-play of his mock Olympic event with the superheroes he dragged off the street in Hollywood Boulevard, and they wrestled Superman against Spider-Man
or something like that.
Batman. It was Batman against Superman, and Cousin Sal was the ring announcer.
Oh, I can see that. Now that I can see.
One of my favorite parts was about 5 minutes before this took place in the broadcast, he was out pacing the hallways practicing his lines. That was my favorite part.
He's a total pro.
I can see that.
It's consummate.
Consummate pro.
Yes.
Yeah, it never stops.
Yeah. Here we go.
Walks around Kimmel's house. Kimmel's work, by the way, with his hand down his pants the entire time.
That's nice. Yeah. That's a nice move.
The entire time.
It's quality info.
Catherine.
Okay, so Catherine, you were assessing the price of her egg.
She wants to donate an egg.
You were down $24.
26.
-26. That was 5-1 junior college.
You're 21. Yeah, you're 5-1. You're going to junior college.
Beautiful.
All right.
Santa Barbara City?
Huh?
Santa Barbara City College?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So you plan to go to UC Santa Barbara or no?
No, I'm sorry. It is a city college, but it's from Miami, not from here.
You're going to junior college in Miami?
Yeah, I'm on vacation.
It's a commute.
She's on vacation.
Oh, you're on vacation.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, do you live in Miami? Do you have to go on vacation? And if you do, do you have to go to a beach city like Santa Barbara?
Well, it's just a different kind of vacation, more of a opportunity vacation here.
I see. Okay.
Care to translate that for
me?
No.
All right. So we're down to -$26.
What are you talking about?
Who cares? How much? I'm going to deduct a dollar
for that.
For not just for not being articulate. You now owe $27 on that egg you're going to donate.
Keep going.
All right. How much do you weigh?
Like 103.
103.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. You're petite.
Yes.
Oh, petite. All right. Cup size? Hold on a second. Now, we've just broke even. We're at $1.89. We're $1.89 now.
Okay.
What's your cup size?
It's a B.
B?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're now back in.
No change.
Into the red. Yeah. You were down a little bit. I was hoping for a C. You owe $4 now. Nationality?
Hispanic.
Hispanic.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, Adam.
Engineer Chris is half Hispanic. By the way, I think that's the half of him that decided his earliest class at junior college should be noon. But anyway, I don't judge. I can't judge. Now, here's the point. Here's where I got to duck just a couple for the Hispanic
thing. Why?
Because the market is flooded with Hispanic kids.
Okay.
We can get them cheap.
Okay.
You see what
so
I'm saying?
It's a market force.
Premium. Yeah, it's
a market force.
The market will bear.
Nothing to do with Catherine, just a pure market issue.
Absolutely. Okay, no judgment on the people. It's a supply and demand. Yes. And
we're a macroeconomic look to this.
Here we go. Keep going. Give me the, the price.
No, it's I'm just saying there's, you know, there's a lot of them around.
All right, okay, good point.
Okay, so now we're down. We're down. Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're down about $185. Okay. What else? Let's see. Anything good? You know, was your dad a pro wrestler from Mexico or something? I'm looking to pad at this point.
No, I have more of an artistic background.
Oh, it could be
artistic.
Good.
What do you got?
Painters and music.
Oh, I like that.
Paint. Okay.
Good.
All right. You're a painter yourself?
No, filmmaker.
Filmmaker.
Oh.
All right. All right, so I'm gonna push you back up to -22 because of the artistic side.
What sort of films?
I guess weird ones. I don't know, like just weird abstract.
Weird. Okay, that's gonna drop you a little bit. It's not nothing worse than that artsy crap that they just pretend they like or get. All right, you're minus $115. So okay, so Catherine, if you went in to donate an egg, you got to bring a checkbook.
So, and you wanted to know, was it safe? And it is reasonably safe, but they will type.
Listen, I had to pay to donate my sperm.
Of course.
I gave my sperm, and I gave him $14. Yeah. They should do that in college.
And the scary thing was that
good-looking blonde guys that were getting paid.
Right. You had to pay up. And
nappy-headed. I got the mono brow.
They couldn't contain your sperm. They all jumped out of the jars. Hey, you're running down the street.
Had to pay,
Catherine, here's the deal. You wanted to know if it was dangerous at all. And, yeah, there's some risk to this. They have to hyperstimulate your ovaries. And there's some risk floating around that they may increase risk of ovarian cancer. A rare complication is that they can stimulate the ovaries to the point that they can outstrip their blood supply and actually die. So there can be some fertility issues here.
Mm.
But for the most part, it's a pretty safe procedure. And there you go. But the other thing you ought to consider is the ethical and sort of emotional issues of having some part of you running around in the world.
Yeah.
For money.
Hey, Catherine.
It's built on eggs. Kind of.
Here's what you do, baby doll. Donate that egg. Get a couple bucks for it. And film the whole thing. Make a short out of it.
Abstract.
Abstract. Yeah. Single tear at the end.
What you got to have is you got to have the film of the laparoscopy where they're sucking the eggs off the ovary.
That's right. So you can get the lap cam in there.
Yeah.
All right. You ready? We got a question for Rich, by the way. Carlos.
Yes.
26.
Oh yes.
What's up?
Carlos, you have brothers and sisters?
Two sisters, no brothers.
All right, three of you? Yeah. See what's driving the price of the Spanish egg now? Yeah.
Spanish
omelet, we call it. Yeah, sorry, Carlos. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I just want to say, first-time caller, big fan of the show. Just kind of wanted to throw in an insight as far as you were saying earlier about the Monday night plan.
All
the games going. I was thinking that's a great idea, but I think we need to dedicate more time on as far as just individuals. Including
individual
like
teams?
Emmitt Smith, more Dallas Cowboy time, more running back time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny how people, a lot of the guys, Cousin Sal, by the way, we're dedicating the show tonight to his memory. Because he will be killed by a police stranglehold at some point.
And a taser.
I think his heart probably will have stopped before the taser hits him, but it's going to be one of those things.
The taser could start it up again.
That's true.
The Sal is a huge Dallas Cowboys fan.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, he has the temerity to make fun of me with my Rams. By the way, Sal's from Long Island.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a huge Dallas fan because
Here's his reasoning. They're America's team.
America's team.
What happened was, and Carl maybe happened to Carlos too, is there's this impressionable age here.
There's a window.
The window is 7 to 11.
And listen, when I was
that's
age,
where you got to pick your
that's
team.
That's right. And then it was the Steelers,
that's
and the
right.
Cowboys, and
that's
the Rams.
Right. That's right.
So which is your team?
Steelers. All of them.
Which is your team?
Steelers.
Really? Steelers?
Yeah. Such a puss.
Because just during that time.
It's so easy just to pick a team from some random place across
the
country
too,
because
the Rams
they're winning.
My ideal Super Bowl was the Rams-Steelers Super Bowl.
Well, that happened.
79.
Yeah.
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 Well, okay, here's the point.
And it was in the Rose Bowl. I lived in Pasadena at the time. And I was on an airplane during the thing.
Are you serious?
Yes.
How so?
I was going back to college.
All right. Did you have to go back to college on Super Bowl Sunday?
Is that your vacation from Miami to Santa Barbara? That famous college vacation?
No, I went to college in Massachusetts, and I was came out here for Christmas vacation
or
something.
You call yourself a man? Actually, Drew doesn't call himself a man.
No,
he admits he's a chair. But you got on a plane on Super Bowl Sunday?
How crazy is that?
Yeah, no, we need to talk. This isn't over. We're going to discuss this after the show.
Yeah.
All right, the point is Carlos is a big Cowboys fan because when he was 7, they were winning, and now he got all into them. And I probably one of the guys who would make fun of me for continuing to be a Rams fan, even though they've left, even though he's never been in the state of Texas.
Yes.
What's happening, Carlos? You ever been to Texas?
I went once. My dad took me to a ball game in 92.
92.
And that's where he became the fan.
And that was their Super Bowl season.
Ago.
That was it.
Texas was.
It was before and they won the Super Bowl, though. They were just a good team back then.
It was the Super Bowl season, right?
Yeah. You and you've lived in Los Angeles your whole life?
Yes, I grew up in L.A.
All right. So your question to Rich is what?
Well, actually, I want to make another argument, too. Well, my question was I wanted just more as far as more team insight, kind of like what they do on HBO behind what is it, the HBO Hard Knocks?
We had something called Inside Training Camp with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Five weeks of behind the scenes.
That's awesome.
Well, yeah, Jacksonville.
All right.
Wow, it's turned into sports talk.
Yeah.
He was a first-time listener, long-time, whatever that
I know. Is. Idiot. No, I know. He's a Dallas fan. He went to L.A.
That was the first-time
Cowboy crazy.
Callers, long-time
remember that movie,
listeners.
The Paper Lion?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No
that's the ultimate
does.
Reality show right there.
When I went to the Dallas Cowboy training camp when I was in high school.
Did you know?
You did?
Yeah, they had this program where they took like the top two or three guys from every team in the CIF or something, and you got to go visit the Dallas Cowboy training camp.
You went to Texas while you were in
high
school?
No, they were out here. They were in
Oxnard
the whole time.
Really?
Yeah. They're back here now.
They always were out here, and then they went back and whatever.
And then they're here again, yeah.
Yeah, went down there, had lunch.
Wow.
Lunch game films.
Wow.
Lunch with, like, Drew Pearson or
like
something?
Tom Landry and...
Staubach.
No, it was just Danny White here, just past him. But, Bob Brunel. What the hell is the middle backer's name? Bob.
Ken Norton Jr. told me a great Tom Landry story.
Let's hear it.
If you had a minute.
Yeah.
He said that he and Michael Irvin started out at the same time with the Cowboys, and they were all excited.
They did?
Yeah, they did. Ken Norton Jr. and Michael Irvin.
I thought Ken, he went from there to Frisco? I thought it went from Frisco to there.
No, he was drafted by Dallas.
Oh, and then went Frisco. Yeah, I would have thought that Irvin was there 5 years.
No, they came in together, and this was the Landry's last year, and the Cowboys were terrible, and it was the first preseason game, first time they ever put on the new uniform, put on the star.
Yeah,
they were all excited.
Wow.
They just looked at each other, and said, "Can you believe this is it? I mean, Dallas Cowboys, the NFL, we're here, finally here." Tom Landry comes in with the hat. Gets ready to give the whole speech, and they're thinking, what is this guy going to say? And he just looks at him and says, "Hey, guys, don't F it up."
Really?
That's it?
That was his speech before that. Wow. Like, what was that?
Tom Landry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess Ken Norton started there, Junior, and then went over to Frisco. God, I can't believe those guys entered the league at the same time. It's like
did, yeah.
Irving seemed like a seasoned vet, you know, a year or two into his career, and Ken Norton seemed like
not a bad draft class. Yeah, not a bad class.
No. Yeah. And by the way, Ken Norton Jr., how much credit did he get? You see what his dad looks like with his shirt off?
Son of Mandingo.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick my dad right in the nuts.
Yeah. I've seen you with his shirt off, too. Yeah, you should.
Yeah. I should give him a swift kick. If he had nuts, I'd give him a boot right in it. How dare you, Drew? How dare you? Marlon?
Yeah.
Have you seen my shirt on?
No.
Still here.
Yeah, you're 28.
You keep talking about your nipples all the time.
What?
Wow, they're sensitive. Go ahead, Marlon.
Yes, I have a question. I don't know if it's a problem of low self-esteem or if I've just been permanently ruined. I am a gay male, 28, and for 11...
You're gay.
Keep going.
For the record, we can throw footballs and baseballs just like everyone else.
Yeah. But then we find out what you are.
Come on.
Yeah, and we lose our salary. Yeah.
You're gay.
Yes, I am a gay male, and for 11 years, I was in love with a person who I can't say was gay, didn't show any signs of being gay, anything like that. However, you know, did everything for this person. Apartment, paid his child support.
Wait. You can't say that you lived with him, but you can't say that he was gay?
I didn't say I lived with him. Oh, no. This started
paid for
in
his
high
apartment.
School.
And paid for his apartment.
He was an apartment just as of 3 years ago. In Texas, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm totally confused.
Hold on a second. Oh, it's not all that confusing. Yeah, like a boy toy.
A boy toy that he didn't have sex with, who he didn't think was gay, who he kept in an apartment in Texas.
Yeah.
For 11 years?
That was Ken Norton Jr.
That man.
I mean, do you understand why I'm confused?
Yeah, but, you know, I think that a fair amount of this stuff goes on, which is there are guys who, they're not gay. I'm talking about the guy who was kept. But they don't got a whole lot of pride, and they got less money.
And they get kept by men but don't sleep with them?
Yeah, you give a little reach around every once in a while around rent time. We know how the game's played, Drew. Look, hey, Rich, I'm not going to kid you. I had to do what I had to do.
Listen.
You know what I'm saying?
If a man's got a felch, he's got a felch.
You got
I hear you.
Please work that in instead of shellac.
Yeah, please. Please.
No problem.
I'm gonna,
felch.
Yeah, I'm watching. I'm T-balling every 212.
And the Niners felch the Raiders by six. How's
awesome.
That? Is that
awesome.
Good?
No,
awesome.
I didn't keep him for 11 years. It was just actually for the past seven, but I met him 11 years ago. So when I moved to Texas and paid for everything, I mean, the whole I love you's on the phone, hang out. No, there was no physical contact whatsoever.
Why not?
I have no idea. Gave the impression that he was gay, but then he wasn't. You know, his ex-girlfriend.
Well, look, he just wanted, he didn't want to work. He wanted you to pay the bills.
Oh, yeah, he worked. Oh, yeah, he made decent money, but his ex-girlfriend will come over, but, you know.
Whoa. Why are you paying for the apartment if he's making decent money?
He needed help.
Okay, so why does he need help? Okay.
He didn't manage money as well as I do.
Okay.
Is he a drug addict?
What is he, yeah?
He is Irish.
That explains it.
Alcoholic.
What does that have to do with it?
And yes, had a drinking problem. He's
got what problems?
He had a drinking problem.
After 8 years of no physical contact, didn't she just write this one off?
Well, that's my whole point. Now that we don't talk as of the past 2 years, no matter who I meet, no matter who I see, I don't date now because of this person.
You're gay. No, Marlon, you skipped right over Adam's question. Ask it again.
I'm too tired.
Your question, Adam.
Listen, Marlon, I'm done with the gay questions. Here's the whole thing. It's not because of this guy. There's something that made you a candidate to be in a
crazy relationship,
unrequited love relationship for 11 years. That's why you're having difficulty now, not because this guy ruined you.
Okay.
You were screwed up enough to engage in this sham of a relationship for 11 years. Screwed up to start with.
Yeah, to think that was a relationship where basically somebody was just exploiting you and keeping you sort of strangely on the line but also quite at a distance.
Yeah. Right.
That's not a relationship. There's one thing, if it were 3 months, it would have been weird enough. But 8 years.
Well, and let me explain something about the gay libido. They can't go 10 minutes without putting it somewhere.
That's not
gay. It's not about everybody.
Well, they're men. It's man on man.
They have the option to do that. Man.
Drew, we would be 69ing right now if we were gay. I would have your sack mic'd up so we could do the show. And that's how we would do it. It was like every night, where's Drew? 69. just dumping coffee into my mouth. We'd just be on the floor. You mean you're a man of passion? I am a man who's receptive to passion, yes?
Yes.
No, that's why there's so much gay love. It's you got two guys in charge of deciding when we should get it on. Answer, now.
It's true.
Rich, come on, buddy.
No,
You and Chris doing your thing over in the corner.
Yeah, I mean.
Me and Drew over
he's got
here.
An image. He's having trouble. With
whack my mug on a different mic.
That's right.
Okay.
Marlon.
Yes.
Okay, so look, something's going on with you and intimacy.
Okay. And, that's good. Theme. I consider myself an attractive gay male, but it's
right, sure the self-esteem thing is ancillary. It's a function of you having difficulty with your sense of yourself. You're probably a trauma survivor, I bet.
And you got to that stuff needs a little therapy. Yeah. A little therapy. And most gay males are attractive. You got to be.
Ask with trauma. Trauma, yes or no?
All right. Marlon?
No trauma.
No trauma.
No trauma. No drama, no trauma, no.
Really?
You were never hit growing up?
No. I had a black mother from the South. Of course we were spanked.
Okay, well, that's trauma, A. Where was your dad?
My father was never around.
Okay, and that's trauma.
So you got a mom whacking you with a slipper and a dad who's absent. That's going to help.
These are traumas.
All right.
And then did anybody in the neighborhood do anything to you when you were like 10, 11 years old or 12?
No, of course I was bullied. You know, every gay kid was.
No, I don't mean bullied. I mean, did somebody like...
Yeah.
Get sexually involved with you when you were young?
No, I didn't.
Early teens?
No. Actually,
all right.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
I was 18 and it was to a girl.
Ooh.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, she's got egg on her face. All right, Marlon. A little therapy, buddy. You're a good guy.
Yeah, it's about the relationships with you.
Why be in these relationships?
Yeah, it's not about your esteem. That's all there, but it's about your capacity to be intimate is what's impaired here.
11 years.
Yeah. That's right. You're into longing.
We got to
being
take a break.
Into longing is not being into intimacy.
I'm going to throw it to break how it would sound if you and I were gay, Drew.
Go.
And we were, you know, mic'd up in our position.
I just tell you, say more.
Drew, you're close. Rich Eisen. Rich, how you doing? Rich, just hold the thumb up. You know, more coffee. All right. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Rich Eisen is here tonight from the NFL Network.
Thank you.
Channel 212, everybody. Yeah. All right. How much copy does... Yes?
No, I like the Channel 212, everybody thing. That made me laugh right there.
Oh, really?
It did, yeah. It was
good.
Good.
In fact, he was had a warm feeling over, thank God, there's a reason I came in here tonight.
No.
Yeah. Otherwise.
No, I'm
beat the crap out of his agents.
I'm enjoying this thoroughly.
How much of the copy, I'll just go back to ESPN days.
Sure.
How much of the copy that was loaded into the teleprompter was written by the person that was reading
every
the
last word.
Really?
Every last word.
You don't get a preliminary thing from somebody you've shaped.
That's
up.
The thing. That's the best part of the job.
Yeah.
You get to write and create your own
Does
stuff.
Does somebody review it, a producer?
Yes. Yeah. There are a couple of things that there are two instances in which I was edited in my ESPN days. One was I wanted the biggest, fattest picture of Hideki Arabu when he first came up for the Yankees.
Right.
And my line was, what's in his sushi? Peanut butter.
Right.
And they...
Really?
Put the kibosh on that.
Really?
True story.
Why?
Why? That
doesn't sound too don't bad. Know. And then the second time was Pat Bowlen, the owner of the Denver Broncos, mm-hmm. was in the Super Bowl parade in his convertible with his blonde wife mm-hmm. holding the Lombardi trophy in his hand. And I scripted, there's Pat Bowlen with his trophy. I said, well, what's wrong with that? And the issue was that they had to edit in. I wanted them to edit in the shot.
Yeah,
right.
That wasn't already in the tape that was edited.
They didn't want to do that.
But I'm like, well, you know, what about that scenario is incorrect? He's holding his trophy.
Yeah, no, sometimes you have him on a...
Truth is my ally on this.
You have him on a technicality.
Yeah.
One of my greatest victories, by the way, and for the man show.
Is your underpants victory?
No, that was another monumental day. We used to do the man show on Comedy Central. Our executives were menopausal women. So it was comical.
With the Y chromosome.
The man show executives were menopausal women.
Yes, 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 they were. And they were, you know, liberal, 40 or 50-something-year-old, very educated women.
Not exactly your target audience.
Not exactly the target audience. So when we wanted to do the parodies of the douche commercials about the stink down there, they objected vehemently. But one time we got in an argument with them about a racial joke, and it was like, two Ukrainian women are standing at the produce thing, and then one picks up a potato and says, "This reminds me of my husband." And we went, and they said, "Well, now that's offensive because you're making fun of, I don't know, Ukrainian people or something," whatever it was. I don't even remember the nationality. We went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And eventually I beat them on a technicality because I said, Debbie, I said, "What's your nationality?" She's like, "I'm Irish." "Oh, what about your husband?" "He's Italian." I said, "Okay, my mother's English. My dad's Italian." I said, "Jimmy, everybody's parents were different." So I said, "The two Ukrainian women are talking about their husbands. We don't know that their husbands are Ukrainian. They may be a different nationality, just like everyone else." Thus, the joke about the schlong that smells like a potato or whatever it was doesn't work. It's not making fun of any ethnic group, since we never know what ethnicity their parents are, their husbands are, just because they're Ukrainian. Go. And they, you know what? Like in classic retard form, they're like, "Well, you got us."
Slipped that one past the goalie.
Yep, and big victory. Didn't get a laugh. But I knew in my heart, that was a huge...
You knew you lived to tell the story on radio.
Huge victory for me. Yeah, so the guys, and on NFL, same thing, right? You write all the copy that goes into the front there.
Absolutely.
Oh, that sucks. Got to get some monkey writing that
no,
stuff
I'm
for you.
No, I'm loving it, actually. It's
really? Great.
Well, you wouldn't want anybody writing your stuff for you, would you?
I would like to. In theory,
no,
I would.
But you wouldn't allow
but
it.
Then you read it, and it's like...
You got to be kidding me. You're right, exactly.
Yeah. Eric? Maybe just for a break, I should write your stuff, and you could write my stuff.
That'd be great.
Fill Rich in on what we're about to do here.
We're doing something called Germany or Florida. This is a game that is sweeping the nation, which is all the macabre and morose and bizarre stories from the world. Anything that's weird either emanates from Germany or Florida.
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about... guy got drunk and shot his wife. I'm talking about cut his own toes off and fried it up in the pan and then ate it. That's Germany or Florida. He tells the story. We decide, is it Germany or Florida?
Okay.
Eric?
Hello?
Go ahead, Eric.
This is Derek.
It's Derek.
Okay.
All
Derek,
right.
Your pardon.
Go ahead, Derek.
Okay, a 26-year-old man put an entire bottle of laxative in his boss's coffee, which ended up sending his boss to the hospital.
Man, I'm going to jump in. I'm going
Florida. Florida.
This is Florida.
Yeah. Right. I can name that in
Florida.
It feels Florida to me.
I hear you.
Just doesn't feel German.
Derek, we're going Florida.
Already?
Yeah.
That's no fun.
We're going Florida.
It's fun if we're right.
Is it Florida?
Well, no.
Do you
want me to keep going, or
do
you want to take another guess?
Well,
keep going.
Let's hear why.
If he works like Lederhosen in or something, I'm going to kill myself. Keep going.
So the boss goes to the hospital, finds out who the employee was that did it, presses charges against him, and the man is convicted and is now serving 2 years for assault.
That's Florida.
We're still in Florida, Eric.
Still sticking with Florida?
Yeah. Still sticking with Florida.
All right. Well, okay. I may have misunderstood the game because
was it Germany or Florida?
No, because it was actually in Mobile, Alabama.
We have to fire our screeners.
Oh my God!
It's close to Florida. It's right next to Florida.
Whatever hurricane hit Florida hits Mobile.
Yeah.
So. All right, so now can we change the name of the show from Germany or Florida to Mobile? Or
Germany or Alabama?
How about Germany or close proximity to Florida?
Germany or
states
southeast.
That abut Florida.
Germany or southeast. Yeah.
How difficult is it to misunderstand the game Germany or Florida?
Oh, my God.
Well, in some states, it's Germany or Florida or Alabama.
Oh, my God.
Derek was functionally retarded.
I'm convinced. God.
We have the world's dumbest scholar.
That was his alter ego, Eric, actually. Right?
He told Brian Florida.
He told him Florida?
Yeah.
All right.
So that means you guys were right.
Yeah. Except he said Mobile, Alabama.
Now, you wonder, let me say this. Was Derek seemed stymied and somewhat upset that we got the answer. It's sort of like when someone's telling a joke and you go, I've heard it. He seemed a little mad.
Maybe he was
going
to try to throw a wrench in it by telling us.
I think he shoved a little twig in our spokes there.
I got a story for you, actually.
Let's hear it.
Let me play this for you.
We're supposed to pick Jeremy or Florida.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Right. This did not, I will tell you right off the bat, this did not happen in Alabama.
All right, good.
That's
all right.
The one hint I'll give you.
All right.
A dentist and one of his patients conspire to fraud in insurance by cutting off one of the dentist's fingers because he wouldn't be able to practice with a mangled hand.
Right.
So they go ahead and get set to do it. Last minute, the dentist says, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. They cut off the guy's finger anyway.
The dentist's finger anyway.
Correct.
Even though he protests.
Why would it? They're going to share the insurance or something?
They were going to share the insurance.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Correct. And so what ends up happening was the dentist at this point then goes to the authorities, rats on the guy who cut off his finger anyway, and asked for his finger back. The guy's going to bring it back in exchange for some money, and they bust the guy when he brings his finger back.
Wow. Is that Germany or Florida?
I'm not kidding you right now. I cut this out of a newspaper once when I saw it because it was so freaky.
I was leaning towards Germany most of the way.
Yeah.
Until
dentist,
finger cutting.
But then when the deal soured.
Florida.
Then I'm thinking Florida.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me.
Going Florida.
You'd be correct.
Yeah.
Wow.
I believe that happened in Jacksonville, Florida, actually.
Give us a hand.
Thank you. Huh? Right. I come correct. And
I come prepared.
Thank you.
Not many people show up with a Germany or Florida in their hip pocket for a radio show. But Rich Eisen. You know, let me tell you, Rich Eisen, he is he's the leather man, the Swiss Army knife of gas.
Right,
this guy, what do you need, a toothpick or a corkscrew? It's rich.
I got you covered.
All right, let's take one more call. See if we can wash the stink of that German Florida debacle off us. Rebecca?
We are batting 1,000 for the Florida and Germany thing.
We have not lost in like a month.
We've
been very powerful. Very strong. We're very strong team. We're the New York Yankees of Germany or Florida. And believe me, once we drop that line on the chicks at the bar, they go, oh, payers come flying right off.
Rebecca.
What's up? What's happening? You're 19.
Nothing much. I'm driving home.
Mm-hmm.
From where, I have to ask?
Germany or Florida?
I work at a restaurant in Florida, and I'm driving to Germany, actually.
Fantastic.
Okay, yeah.
All right. What's up, baby doll?
Well, I've been masturbating for a while now. I'm 19. And for like the past 6 months, every time I orgasm, I get really bad cramps in my lower abdomen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a couple questions. Are you on any medication?
No.
Have you had a history of tubal infections?
No.
It may just be one of those things. Some people get cramps. The pubococcygeus muscle can spasm, and you can get sort of a funky, awful feeling down there. Yep. Men tend to get that more than women. But
really?
Yeah.
I get a calf cramp every once in a while when I'm trying to pull a hat trick.
Yeah. Hat trick?
Oh, yeah.
It's only when you're by yourself, though. You're not pulling it with somebody present, right?
No.
Yeah, of course.
Why would I orgasm with someone in the room?
Well, I mean, sometimes you have to with your wife, but more than once, certainly no.
No, you don't go for the hat trick with the old lady.
No.
No, that's ace 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when it's time to dig deep. Digging deep, seeing what it's made out of. You know what I mean?
Trying to turn inside out.
trying to pull myself inside out. Yeah. Those hat trick days are over, by the way, Drew.
Oh, by the way.
That's in the rear view.
Yeah, no kidding.
No. I make the proclamation I'm going for the hat trick, but then it's just the half.
You're making Rich uncomfortable. You're making our guest really uncomfortable.
Not at all.
If he had a tie, he'd be like...
No, not at all. I'm not uncomfortable at all.
Good.
Speaking of uncomfortable in a tie, I don't know why this reminded me of it. Not funny, sad, but ironic. I heard a couple of days ago that Rodney Dangerfield was in a coma.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I've been seeing the promo where he's guest starring on Still Standing. Oh, and I thought...
That's ironic.
It's
a fitting term, too, huh?
Yeah.
He's still standing.
Now, he was in bad shape when we saw him like 6 years ago. I mean, he's in a coma now. That is a bad sign.
Well,
hey, how you
say
doing?
Like,
who?
Like a light coma or something, is it? Yeah, and like an easy listening coma or anything?
Yeah.
No. There's no lies to put.
Cool jazz.
What do you do if someone's in a coma? Yeah.
Well, it means all system failing at that age.
There's no quiet storm.
There's also alcohol withdrawal related stuff that people get into.
Please, so. How dare you? We'll take a Rich Eisen. When someone's in a coma, and I say go talk to them and stuff. Is that it? Let me tell you how that would work for me. Like if my loved one was in a coma,
how would that work?
I would sit down and be like, "Hey, Dad, I'm here. Dad, hey, hey, Dad. Hey, okay." I'm gonna get something to eat. Anyone want anything? I'm out of here. Come on. I'm not gonna read him a book. He's in a coma. If anything, he gets the Sharpie Senior Wences mustache. First thing he gets. All right, because that's time to go nuts with the Sharpie. Okay.
It's all right.
We'll take a quick break. Rich Eisen here. NFL Network. 212, everybody, on your dish. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Doc Drew over there. Rich Eisen is here tonight. NFL Network. And that is channel what, Drew?
212.
That's 212. Right.
On your DirecTV dial.
On that dish. I like the DirecTV couple. Not sure if they're getting it on or not. Good-looking chick.
Tanya Memmi, is that her name?
Yeah. Squirrely guy. Why's a guy got to be squirrely?
I love that DirecTV.
She's hot. She's just pee whipping the guy all over the place.
He's there in a sweater vest telling you what's coming up on pay-per-view.
Not quite sure if they're getting it on or they're together or what their status is. They don't seem married. Clearly, he's hot for her.
No. Here's the deal. She's there for you. And he's no competition.
Well done.
Yeah.
That's breaking it down there.
She is, she's hot. And it's weird how you can start, like, you ever fall in love with chicks from a commercial? Just some smoking hot chick on a beer commercial or a tequila commercial or something. And the chick will never get hotter than the commercial because you only see her for, the commercial's 30 seconds and she gets about 8 seconds of airtime and looks like a goddess. For those 8 seconds, you know what I mean? Even if you fall in love with a chick who's on 90210 or some show that's reoccurring, eventually there'll be an episode where she doesn't look too hot.
Yeah.
That'll be the thing, and then you'll be out of it again. Commercial chicks always smoking hot. They never lose it. That's true.
Yes? I can remember falling in love with the
Noxzema woman.
No, the models at like the Price is Right. You know,
boing. No question. Now they're all Playboy bunnies. All of them now. All the Barker beauties have had to strip in Playboy at some point.
Right.
Yeah. But
he knows what he's doing.
But by the way, and speaking of football, it's like, you know, by the time Barker's beauties get to Playboy, it's like by the time Namath got to the Rams, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, we don't want this Namath. We want Broadway Joe, not the guy
who's 64.
Getting out of the locker room whirlpool tub, you know. And that's the whole thing. It's like, yeah, there's a time period where we want Namath. There's a time period when we want to see them naked, and it's not in their 50s.
By the way, he's had the good judgment to stay out of the public limelight.
Joe? Oh, you mean after his drunken, unfortunate remarks?
He's coming up on a full year of staying sober.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate that when guys get a little juiced up, say something funny, and then have to pretend like they're sorry and apologize to everybody.
Like Jimmy the Greek?
Yeah, Jimmy the Greek got tossed off the air for making a good racial joke, you know.
It wasn't a joke. He was...
I like this.
They calls for you end up bring yourself up. Kristen, 16.
Yes.
What's up?
From June of last year until January of this year, I was in a relationship with a guy. I mean, our entire relationship was based on sex. And
based on what?
Sex.
Sex.
I'm sorry?
And? Yeah, we got it. Go.
Okay.
Go.
Sex is like an addiction for me. Anytime I'm stressed out, it's like a drug.
Okay.
And for the last, like, couple months, we ended up breaking up, and I got in a relationship, like, too soon afterwards with somebody else, and we ended up breaking up, and we're back together now. And for the past couple months,
All right, her phone's driving me nuts, and she doesn't pronounce the X in sex.
I think she was asked a question about why she went from being hypersexual to not wanting sex, and that is typical of people that have had sexual abuse. They will have a bipolar quality where they will go from wanting it all the time to not wanting it all and shutting down. And particularly, you'll shut down when you actually get in a good relationship.
Kristen?
Yes.
Sexual abuse?
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah, when I was like two or three, my mom, my mom's a manic depressive, and she took off and left me with my father, and
he abused you sexually?
Oh yeah.
How about some therapy?
Well, I've been in and out of like therapy. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Also. All right. Get the bipolar managed. That's a medication issue, and then go to SA. Go to Sex Addicts Anonymous. That'll be good for you.
All right. Sexually abused. Now we got a question for Rich Eisen, by the way. Joseph?
Yeah, I want to ask Rich about the Chargers. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about them?
Well, I want to know if they'll be good in 5 years. What does he think?
Wow. The five-year plan, they're like the Stalin plan of the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
I think they'll be good in 5 years.
People sometimes talk about the Chargers as though they've been a football dynasty or something because they had a couple good seasons, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I just...
Get them back to the Chargers.
Yeah. Yeah. They never won a Super Bowl.
But they were never that good. They don't have a dynasty.
They made it to a Super Bowl and got
spanked. They had a couple good years
with Fouts and, you know, later on with, I don't know who. The point is Breeze is playing well.
Yeah,
right?
He is. And LaDainian Tomlinson is one of the best in the business. But
yeah.
Phillip Rivers is going to take Breeze's job eventually.
Oh, really? All right.
So, could happen this year.
Son of Joan Rivers, did you know that?
Fascinating.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, everybody, that's the show next week. Korn in studio, Interpol in studio, Seth MacFarlane from the Family Guy, Boston, and the
Unacceptable
Car Drivers. Cake next week. Want to thank Rich Eisen. A delight.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My pleasure, guys.
212, everybody, the NFL Network. Watch it. No better time than tonight. Possibly early tomorrow morning. I want to thank Engineer Chris for doing a fantabulous job and never disappointing. And I mean, never disappointing. Even when it's in a disappointing way, it's not disappointing. You know, he's consistently disappointing.
He never disappoints.
So he never disappoints. Yes. He's always disappointing. I want to thank Engineer Anderson for whipping his magic fingers all over those potentiometers. And digging Howard Cosell out of his ass.
Deep.
Awesome. Phone screener Brian for doing a great job, even though I'm looking at him now, I'm wondering why he's not doing his job. And junior producer Lauren and senior producer Ann for booking great guests like Rich Eisen. So,
Thank you. Until
next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
Bad blood between those two. This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.